Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Friend with BreakpointTrades.com. Again, I hope everyone had a nice weekend. It is Sunday afternoon, March 24th, and this is the extensive weekend newsletter from Breakpoint Trades, where we cover pretty much everything in the markets, commodities, precious metals, crypto, you name it. Weekend newsletters, if you're new here, tend to be quite extensive. They can take anywhere from 40 minutes to an hour. Again, these aren't meant to be 5 and 10 minute, you know, Mr. Beast videos. For short attention spans. It's meant for those of you who really want to dive deep into technical analysis, learn in the process by seeing awesome chart analysis, and really, again, get into the weeds. So that's what we're about. Again, we've recently went over 10,000 subscribers. I'm humbled by that, and hopefully we can continue to grow that. But anyway, newsletter this weekend is divided into 6 major sections, as you can see here, a lot to discuss. As far as the markets, as I state here, the bulls continue to have the football, control the football. They've had it since late October, as you know. This uptrend has been quite impressive, close to 5 months now. Okay. Early last week, we pointed out very obvious coil patterns on the S&P 500. They were perfect, again, 5-wave structures. We favored that as a 4th-wave pullback, another pop to the upside. And that's what we got. The S&P 500 closed over that 5,200 round number, closed at 5,225. And for the week, the S&P gained 2.3%, Dow gained 2%, NASDAQ gained 3%, while the Russell 2000 small caps gained 1.6%. Again, the key items I'd be watching for this week, guys, are obviously on the S&P, watch that potential 4th-wave pullback, unless it gets too deep. Watch the U.S. dollar, had a very strong week last week. Watch the 10-year treasury yield and watch NVIDIA, okay? Again, short term, like I said, we popped out of the coil on Thursday and into Thursday's highs. We pulled back and that pullback extended into Friday. For now, we're favoring that as some sort of wave 4. So we'll see. Again, it's a bit tricky here. I don't think there's a lot of blood left in the turnip. Should we get our next pop to the upside? But again, we continue to remain in this uptrend. And another, if you want to keep it really simple, the 20-day moving average is your key support on the daily S&P 500. The largest pullback in the entire uptrend for the S&P has been 130 points. So what that means is you would need a pullback larger than that to exceed the uptrend symmetry. From the highs, S&P would need to go below 5130 at this point. For the Qs, largest pullback is 17.6 points. IWM appears to be in some sort of rising wedge pattern. And interesting, a curious spike on the CPI put-call ratio on Friday, spiked to 1.29. Usually you don't see that until after you've had a good correction. Usually you don't see that when the market's just off the high. So I'm kind of wondering what that's about. Again, the dollar was very strong last week. Gold pulled back off that spike high to 22.25. Closed at 21.60. The daily has a divergent high. And if the dollar strengthens, then we're looking for more weakness there. If the dollar weakens, then maybe we can see an extension of that wave 5. Bitcoin pulled back nicely, lost 4.4% for the week. Energy stocks remain strong. A lot of economic news for this week. Honestly, most of it is housing related. Okay. There are a couple things like Chicago PMI, third quarter GDP on Thursday, but a lot of housing data here, okay? Next, item number 2. Again, just, I'm gonna cover all these in the newsletter, but just showing these quickly. Again, last week we were showing that perfect 5-wave coil on the S&P on multiple timeframes, as you know, early in the week. We favored the upside break, which we got, you know, Wednesday, and then pulled back late in the week. Again, guys, coil patterns are always 5 waves like this, with typically wave E forming a higher low within the coil, all right? You can see late in the week, Thursday, Friday, we pulled back. For now, we're viewing this as some sort of 4th wave. Unless we pull back and, you know, go below this 5180 area, the previous breakpoint, you'd have an overlap of the wave 1. Here's ES futures. Again, you can clearly see the coil and that move up, potentially a 3 and more than a 4, which again, could pull back a little more. You wouldn't want us going back below this breakpoint would negate it. But for now, we favor an upside break. NVIDIA, you want to watch this week. Again, That high at 974, I view that as an alt wave five. It could be a wave five, but you know me in round numbers. Market likes to hit round numbers. Kind of like a stock when it gets to into the 90s, it almost always hits 100. Well, that's like NVIDIA hitting 97, and it didn't tag 100. So it got too damn close. I would favor another move up in NVIDIA to at least get over that 1,000 area to complete that five. You can see how NVIDIA bounced off the 20-day moving average on that last pullback. And here's the dollar. We want to keep an eye on this. Strong move up last week. It was up 1.1%. And testing this coil pattern. That's going to determine what a lot of these commodities do and precious metals, which have had a good run recently. Maybe that'll cause a nice weakness in that area. Next. Now, going back to some admin comments, I want to talk about the KISS systems. Again, guys, I promise we're getting close to launching this. Again, it's not me, it's the developer who's taken forever for some reason. But anyway, the KISS systems have been an awesome resource. We've had these live on the website for free for over a year now, since early last year. And they've really knocked it out of the park, especially on this major uptrend, catching just momentum gains. I mean, look at these percentage gains here on some of these stocks. Just absolutely crazy. And this is actually image taken from last Wednesday. So these numbers are higher at this point. But hella gains. You've done well if you follow these. We have the standard version on the daily. Remember, we have the weekly now. We have the FAQ. Make sure to read that if you haven't done so. Should answer a lot of your questions. We're going to soon add that premium high performance section. And I'm hoping to have about close to 20 high performance versions of the KISS systems there. A lot of those are going to be intraday time frames, say half day, 130 minute, 78 minute, 30 minute, stuff like that. So there could be trades that occur in the middle of the day. Okay. And we're going to offer free SMS messaging to your phone, you know, so that you can get alerted on your phone and not just an email. Again, if you haven't done so, go to the website, set some favorites, click that box to receive favorites so you can receive, you know, these awesome trade tables to your email inbox. And of course, soon you'll be able to go in there and add your phone number for the SMS. Next, just reviewing a couple of these. Here's NVIDIA from the KISS system. Again, it went long essentially on December 28th. You can see the entry right there on that vertical line. It set its stop at 458. It went long at 498. Okay. It raised its stop 16 times. The stop is still pretty wide at 811, but the trade is up almost 90%. Awesome example of the KISS systems. Now, some of the things that are coming for the KISS systems on the high performance. So, when we add this, we're going to have trade stats for these. So here's ERX, for example. Now this is ERX, that's the 2-time leveraged energy ETF. And this is as of, I think, January 1st or something, or early January. So it's not updated, but we're going to have stats like this, where you can see gross profit, profit factor, number of trades, winning percentages. You know, you can see base yearly gains such as this, versus traditional buy and hold, you know. So for example, like I said, 2024, the system's actually up about 16%. Remember, this is from early January. This is old data. But you can see some of the yearly gains here. 2022, it made 156% versus buy and hold 123%. And, you know, 2021, it made 81.5% versus, let me move on to that. So 2020, it made 176% versus buy and hold, lost 91%. So pretty cool stuff here. We're not done with the formatting here. Again, all the high performance will have these various stats. And also, you'll be able to see profit curves such as this. Well, finally, so here's an example of one of the high performance that will be in there. This is gold. This is IAU. Again, remember there's GLD. There's various ETFs for gold. This is IAU is another one. I kind of like it over GLD. It's a little lower price. But anyway, 130 minute, that's 3 bars in a day. Here's your IUA buy and hold. And you can just see it's not even a comparison. Max drawdown, is only, looks like I got to update this bottom, is only 4.3%. That's awesome. All right. Max drawdown on buy and hold is 31%. And you can see here only one losing year, slightly, 2018. Okay. Currently this year, it's up about 6% versus buy and hold. So it's up a little bit more in buy and hold. Last year, it made about 21% versus buy and hold. You can see $10,000 on the KISS system here would turn into about $210,000 reinvest in profits. Whereas buy and hold, on buy and hold, $10,000 turned into $46,000. So quite the difference. Oh, by the way, average hold time on this one, just to give an example, is 18 days. 28 days for winners, 8 days for losers. So that's an example of one of those high performance systems. All right, moving back to the general market analysis. So here's the index sector table, what transpired last week. Again, Friday was a bifurcation day, as you can see. For the week, the index is closed strongly. Again, gains anywhere from 1.5% to almost 3% across the board. As far as the 21 market sectors we follow, most were up, only two of the 21 sectors were down. So 19 out of 21 sectors were up, okay? Nice gains here, and the ones that were up were less than 0.2% down. Currency-wise, US dollar up 1.2% for the week, so strong close for the dollar. We want to keep an eye on that this week. Bitcoin, you know, had a nice pullback last week. And commodities, the index was barely down 0.22%. Not bad considering that rally in the dollar. We want to keep an eye on that. Natural gas bounced back a bit, up 9.5%. There was also a rollover there on the futures contract, so that skews that a bit. But pretty strong moves on a lot of these commodities, especially these agriculture areas, corn, wheat. You know, you don't think inflation's a problem? Look at these areas. I mean, they had just been running. And gold, precious metals, gold still closed up despite that rally in the dollar. But we do have a divergent high potentially there. And silver was down 2%. GDX, the miners, were down. So this area to me is vulnerable unless we can reverse right away from here. And as far as the bond market, like I said, we had a pullback in the 10-year, 30-year treasury yields. We want to keep an eye on that this week as well. Next, item number 9 shows the economic news calendar. As I stated, most of the news this week are a lot of home sales, right? On Thursday, we have GDP, Chicago PMI, pending home sales, initial jobless claims, stuff like that. But a lot of housing data here. All right, let's go and jump to the index charts, first section of the newsletter. So image number 10 is the monthly chart of the 5 key major indexes. Again, the month of March is not over, but you know, so far we have 5 months in a row here. That's pretty extended. Doesn't mean it can't have another 6th month, but 5 months up in a row up over the upper Bollinger Band. So no reversals yet. Been a hell of an uptrend from that late October lows. Chart 11, here's the weekly view of the major indexes. As I've been stating, really easy. After breaking out of these flag wedge patterns back in early October, we've simply been riding up, and the 9-week EMA has been your support. You can see how it held the support on the Dow there, held on all these other indexes as well. Here's the NASDAQ. So that's your important support on the weekly, is that 9-week EMA. Next, chart 12, here's a chart of the KISS systems. These are the weekly versions for those 4 major indexes. Here's the Qs. Again, remember the weekly KISS is going to have wider stops than the daily. It's common sense. So 4,800 for the S&P. The Qs are the only one that had a new smart trailing stop. It moved up from 400 to 405.90, it looks like there. But overall, doing well. Next. Let's move to the major indexes individually. Here's the Dow Jones. Again, popped up last week. Remember, it had a coil pattern as well, just like the S&P. Price was consolidating there, and we popped up. You can see I added a channel here. That's resistance up in there. Pulled back on Friday nicely, filling a little gap. The MACD had recycled back to zero after the divergence, and we popped. But again, we still have a bigger divergence in place. You can see the MACD is way far away from taking out the December highs. So again, no changes, guys, in the trend, but pulling back a little bit from the upper portion of that channel. Short-term support for the 9 EMA. Next, driver 14, here's the S&P monthly chart. Again, this shows you the bigger picture since the 90s. You know, we had a secular bear market in the 2000s, then the 2009-2008 bear market. And we've been up ever since in this basically perfect symmetrical channel. Okay, this has also been a great guide, the 14 stochastic. It had a brief dip below that 50% 2022, then came right back. So just pushing back up, we're at new all-time highs. Trevor 15, here's another monthly view of the S&P. Shows you the same thing. I'm wondering if the upper channel of this on the S&P could be a target over time. Okay. Otherwise, this has been a good guide to these two exponential moving averages on a monthly time frame, the 8 and 13 exponential moving averages. As you know, those are Fib numbers. And again, I'm not a big fan of moving average crosses for signals because they can be kind of late and they can whipsaw, but it's been pretty good. You can see these signals have been really good for the longer term trends. All right. You can see during that bull market, most of these pullbacks, the two moving averages simply pinched together, didn't cross. Now they did cross in early 2022, but then they crossed back in early 2023 to get right back into the trend. It's done very well. Next, chapter 2016, here's the weekly view of the S&P. Again, like I said, the 9-week EMA is your support. Again, no changes, guys. We remain uptrending here. The largest pullback in this uptrend has been about 130 points. So if we were to pull off right now, you would need to move below 5130 to bring your uptrend symmetry again. Otherwise, guys, again, the bulls remain, have the football, no changes. Next, chart 17, moving down to lower time frames. Here's the daily view of the S&P. Again, you can see this nice uptrend channel. Your key support here is really that 20-day moving average, which essentially matches the channel line. Remember, the largest pullback in this whole entire uptrend has been about 130 points. Again, we have divergence building, stuff like that, but again, you need some sort of trigger. Again, getting up near the upper portion of the channel up here is definitely an area to, you know, take some profits. Some areas to watch if we, you know, if you start coming down to these big major support areas would be, you know, the 20-day moving average and these RSI trend lines below. All right. The 60 stochastic has been embedded above 80, which has provided momentum trades, and I'll discuss that here in a second. So let's discuss that now. So here's the S&P daily. This is this mean reversion system that I've been talking about. And I've had this in place for years. And again, on our for our website newsletter, we give you the live chart URLs to this. Okay. But anyway, this has been an excellent chart. So whenever the stochastic, a slow stochastic 60 length, again, most of you are familiar with, say, 14 stochastics, right? That's the standard, or a 10 stochastic, or maybe even a 5 stochastic. But the 14, the 60 is interesting because it can trend, just like you see here, stay above 80% for long periods of time. And whenever it does that, you get awesome mean reversion long signals whenever some of these fast indicators worked over sold areas. So as you can see here, I'm using either a 2 RSI length, that's famous by the Larry Connors reversion to mean method. There's a Williams percent 5 length, a fast stochastic 4 length. So those are all fast oscillators. So the point is, if these indicators, oscillators, become oversold while the 60 stochastic is still embedded over 80, that provides you low risk buy opportunities. You can see all these. You can see how many of these have occurred since December, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and they've all been winning trades. Now, usually, eventually at the end, you'll get one where it signals along, but then that, you know, then the 60 stochastic ends up selling off below 80, and then you stop out. But it can catch quite a few trades during the meantime. So it's a nice, excellent, systematic chart. By the way, guys, this works on a fractal time frame. So while this is a daily, you could see this kind of behavior on a 5-minute chart, on a 60-minute chart, on a 2-hour chart, you name it. Okay, so nice tool. And I think I'm the one who pioneered the work on the 60 stochastic. I never seen anyone else any other analyst talk about that. Next. Trevor 19, moving on. Here's the KISS system for the S&P. Again, last week, the stock moved up from 49.50 to 50.80, so a nice 130-point jump. Okay, so just following the uptrend, the system went long back there on October 31st with that initial stop at the swing low, and it's moved it up methodically over time. It's a great example of the KISS system, keeping you in the uptrend with that insurance stop protection. Next, image number 20, here's the four time frames. So what's it say here again? ATR support on most all these time frames now, right? We've been talking about on these smaller time frames, price bouncing between these cycle indicator. Well, it finally broke through the cycle indicator last week. Now you can see a little bit of mark 9 and 13 late in the week, and we're pulling back. Next, chart 21, here's the half day chart. Again, just like on the daily, we have this nice steep uptrend channel. We had a coil, which we busted out of, you know, and we'll see what happens this week. You can see your moving average ribbon has been bullishly stacked the whole time. You can see your, the trend line on the RSI is the support to monitor. Chart 22, here's a 2 hour view. Again, moving to smaller time frames. You can see the nice coil here, five waves, A, B, C, D, E, and pop to the upside. For now, we're viewing this maybe as some sort of fourth wave. Chart 23, here's ES Futures from Steve. I thought this was a very clean chart from TradingView, just perfect. You can see the A, B, C, D, E coil here and the potential three and fourth wave. Again, for now, we view it as a fourth wave unless it gets too deep. You know, if it goes below this 52.50, it's negated, guys, okay? Because you have an overlap. Wave four cannot overlap high of wave one. Next, chart 24, here's a 60-minute chart. Again, moving down lower time frames, you can see this nice channel. You can see the coil we broke out of last week, pulling back late in the week. Eventually, when we do break the coil to the downside, we have some of these open gaps that I think will be filled on the next correction. Chart 25, here's a 15-minute chart. Like I said, this is kind of this count we've been looking at. For now, I view this as a wave four unless it gets too deep. Oh, and chart 26. That previous chart was a 30-minute chart. This is a 15-minute chart. Shows you the same thing here. So here I added fibs, some things to watch for. All right, guys, let's move on. Chart 27, here's the triple Qs. Again, they remain in this uptrend. Made a brief new high last week. Again, moving average ribbon was pinching once again. That's always a great guide when it's pinching from a bullish stacking. Largest pullback in the uptrend has been about 17.6 points. So no breaks in symmetry. We're still holding the uptrends. Like I said, broken record. Chart 28, here's that weekly wave count with that nested 1-2-1-2. Like I said, there's been no changes on this puppy. We're still watching for the end of this wave five of three. Once it ends, we're looking for a deeper wave four pullback. But, you know, we're still in the midst of this bigger count. Next, chart 29, here's the daily KISS system for the Qs. Smart trailing stop remains at 427.70. Nice entry, of course, back there on October 31st. And system has kept you in that uptrend the entire time. Next, chart 30, here's the four time frames. So on the Qs, late last week, we had a buy cycle and that ended up playing out. Price bounced right off of that. Otherwise, prices, it's a little different. It's weaker than on the S&P. Prices finding support resistance at this resistance cycle on the half day. And in 130 minute, we didn't break through the resistance cycle like on the S&P. So it's actually stalling at that. Next, chart 31, here's the 2 hour or half day chart of the triple Qs. Just a nice clean channel to monitor. We bounced off that little demand zone last week. Again, still in the midst of the channel. Chart 32, there's a 2 hour view. And we bounced right off that demand zone. And let's talk about some of the major big cap tech stocks since they're so dominant to the index. And so here's NVIDIA. You know, like I said, NVIDIA has had one hell of a run. It's all about AI, as we know. So NVIDIA had that spike to 974 in early March. While that could have been a wave five, I view that as more of an alternative. That's my alt count. because, you know, NVIDIA pulled back. It bounced off the 20-day moving average here. And here's the thing, guys, just a real simple guide. You know, 974, that's kind of like a stock getting to 97. When the stock gets up in the 90s, it almost always tags 100. It's a well-known thing on Wall Street. So that's the same thing. It got so damn close to 1,000, that big round number, that I think it's got to tag it. And that next time in the 1,000 area will be some sort of, that'll be the true wave five. So if that goes up to the over 1,000, that would support another up move in the market. The other big caps tech stocks are still looking strong, except Apple, of course. We'll get to that in a moment. Here's Amazon, still uptrending here just fine. Chapter 35, Meta, of course, still uptrending just fine as well. Chapter 36, Microsoft. Remember, I had this pullback labeled as a wave four, and that's obviously played out. We're in the midst of this wave five. Chapter 37, Google, also nice rally off that 200-day moving average from a few weeks back. And in Apple, this is the one that is out of favor. So Apple's been downtrending for a while. We had it as a short idea several weeks back below this 179 area. Sold off, bounced off this demand zone, weekly and daily demand zone. But you could see that rally back up, that three wave stalled right at that previous support turn resistance. So kind of turned into a bear flag there. Apple, and then of course last week you have the antitrust suit coming on against Apple, and they got a lot of headwinds. And another one that has a lot of headwinds is Tesla. Poor Elon, you know, Tesla bounced off the upper portion of that demand zone, but again, hard to say if that was the low. There's an open, obvious open gap down here that was never filled. There's a lot of issues that Tesla has, from issues in China and competition, all kinds of stuff. Next. Chapter 40, here's IWM, Russell 2000. This, you know, this wave count, actually, I threw this back in the chart that we've had, this ABC, and this has been playing out. Otherwise, the Russell got a little bit into this demand zone up in here where it's been finding some resistance. Chapter 41, here's the daily view of IWM. Like I said, it's potentially forming some sort of rising wedge pattern. You can see the MACD divergence here with the wedge. And we stalled so far around this little trend line inside the wedge. So I do think this rally will end eventually in this wedge pattern on a breakdown. For now, it's still in the midst of it. That does it for the indexes, guys. Let's move on. Let's look at a few indicators. Here's the VIX volatility index. So the VIX, first off, these VIX Bollinger Band buy signals, you had five of them back here from December all the way into February, all played out for nice long trades in the S&P. Right now, the VIX is sold off. You can see a couple of doji candles at the lower Bollinger Band. So just something to be aware of, that is a potential support area. Next, chapter 43, here's the VVIX. That's the volatility index of the VIX. So the VIX, VVIX actually gave a buy signal on the S&P last, Monday? Whenever it closed back inside its upper Bollinger Bands, the VIX didn't. So the VVIX gave you an extra signal from the VIX that obviously played out. And this isn't back below its lower Bollinger Bands. It's still got a ways to go. Next, chapter 44, here's the CPC, put call ratio. Now, not sure what this means. This sucker spiked up to almost 1.3 last Friday. And it's kind of odd because if you look, a lot of these spikes occur after corrections. Because again, it's fear, right? Because it is puts divided by calls. So is it folks, probably, you know, folks obviously hedging at least with the market at new highs, but kind of odd to see that spike on the CPC when the S&P is so close to the all-time highs. So kind of odd there. Again, the problem too with the option market these days are all these ODT options, you know, these options that expire within a day. In our personal opinion, it's really skewed things. Finally, chapter 45, here's the NYSI 9 EMA crossover system. Remember, I'm using this potentially as a signal for a short or a sell on the market. So far, it's not given anything. We have a divergence setting up here. We need to see this close below the 9 EMA. And, you know, again, hasn't. So going to continue to monitor this going forward. Next, looking at the bond market, here's high yield corporate. Again, remember this broke out of its coil in March, retested that trend line, bounced off. Market tends to follow high yield corporate, so you always want to follow that. Chapter 47, the 10-year treasury yield pulled back. Here at a potential channel to monitor. Chapter 48, here's TLT 20-year bonds. Opposite pattern, you have a downtrend channel to monitor. Remember, bonds and rates move opposite to one another. Chapter 49, here's a big picture of the 10-year treasury yield going back to the 1980s. Remember, rates were in this secular bear market for 40 years. They're now in a secular bull market. You know, they hit initial resistance. This is the chart I've been postulating. If I'm correct here, maybe we'll still see a further move down in rates, but eventually they'll make a higher low, rally again. Remember, these are now in a secular bull market. Maybe that'll correspond with the next bear market, guys, when that happens. Chapter 50, here's the monthly view of TLT. So again, remember, you have to take the opposite view. Bonds move opposite of rates. Here you had a perfect five-wave structure, the downside rally up. To me, if that was the case, to me, we still would have more to go in this counter trend ABC, which means rates would come down still over time for that to complete, but ultimately form a lower high. Next, moving on to the look at a few individual sectors. We're not going to cover all the 21 sectors we look at, guys, just a few. Here's XLC Communications. That contains a lot of those FANG type stocks. This continues the momentum uptrend here. Chapter 52, financials. This area has been on fire, finally pulling back from the upper portion of this, like kind of a steep wedge, but clearly in a very strong uptrend. Chapter 53, transports. Again, pulled back at near that 20-day moving average, rallied back. Remember, they broke out of a cup and handle back in February. Chapter 54, industrials, again, very strong, just a little pullback on Friday. Chapter 55, materials, same deal. A lot of strong sectors out there, guys. Chapter 56, healthcare, which was on fire, has been coiling. Let's see if this ends up being a fourth wave coil or not. Look at the energy market. XLE Energy has had one hell of a run, but it is getting a bit extended here. Look how wide the moving average ribbon is now. Remember, when your moving average ribbon's tight, that's when you can generally hold for a nice strong move. When they get too wide, you look for a mean reversion. So be aware of that. Chapter 58, oil services, same deal. They're not as strong as the energy market though. And something I haven't showed for a while, the BPNER, Bullish Percent Energy Index. It's not quite in the overbought territory, but it has moved up to 87%. So, I mean, technically, that is in the overbought territory, really. We had a great, good buy signal back here. Again, that's when the energy stocks were super lower risk. They're not as low risk up in here. We are getting a bit extended. Chapter 60, ExxonMobil. Again, we had it as a long idea back here in January off these dojis. Been a very excellent swing trade. And chapter 61, Valero, been one hell of a move. Again, look at this move out of this cup and handle. Again, quite extended at this point. Look at that ribbon, stuff like that. Good area to take some profits if you need to do so. Next, let's move on to commodities. Here's DBC, the index, down about 0.22% for the week. Not surprised with that strong dollar. Chapter 63, here's crude oil. Here we added a potential rising wedge. We're pulling back a little bit. We haven't broken any supports yet, but just something to watch for. Chapter 64, natural gas rallied up last week, up 9.5%. About a month ago, it bounced off that long-term support area. Chapter 65, here's the daily. We had rollover on the futures, so it doesn't exactly match the ETF. Here's UNG. UNG was actually down where the natural gas itself is up because of the rollover. Chapter 67, copper down 2.8% last week. Remember, it had broken out of the coil the previous week. Chapter 68, DBA, agriculture, up 2%. Again, this has had one hell of a move out of this cup and handle. Remember, I liked it as a cup and handle back in January. This was an excellent swing trade idea by me. Here's the daily, just up, up, and away, just continues to go. Man, little RSI divergence there, but boy, hell of a move. Congrats if you caught it. And another one, Cocoa just continues up. I mean, look at this parabolic move. You know, all these moves in commodities are much more inflationary reflective than what Bitcoin's doing, guys. Look at this. Finally, here's URA, Uranium ETF. It did bounce off this demand zone, but still struggling to get going. Really needs to clear out over this 50-day moving average. Next, moving into crypto market, here's Bitcoin. Again, Bitcoin, you know, hit that high of 74,000, almost 74,000 the previous week, pulled back. A little bouncing a little bit. Here, added a little trend line to monitor. You know, if it breaks that, you could have a little head and shoulder, but for now, it's okay. Trevor 73, here's Bitcoin on the weekly. So again, to me, this is obviously some sort of wave three. Once we do have a confirmed high, we're looking at it as a wave four, but we think that'll ultimately be a buy opportunity and we're gonna move up in a wave five. Maybe that takes Bitcoin to that 100,000 mark on that wave five. I doubt we get there on this wave three. Trevor 74, Ethereum, you know, nice sell-off in Ethereum, though found support at its 50-day moving average. Some of these individual stocks, here's MSTR. That's a good play on Bitcoin because they, instead of a miner, they buy Bitcoin. You can see the perfect bounce off the 20-day moving average. But again, very volatile. So bought this last week myself. Steve and I sold it on Thursday. Trevor 76, CSLK. This is an interesting crypto play. And this is our best guess, some sort of wave four consolidation. If that's the case, we're looking for another move up to a new high in wave five. Next, US dollar, weekly view up 1.1%. Strong move in the dollar, testing this potential coil trend line. Again, keep an eye on what the dollar does here. That's going to have implications to commodities and precious metals. Trevor 78, here's the daily view. We broke out of that little over that downtrend line. Big move on Friday. Trevor 79, Japanese yen weakening. Again, opposite of the dollar. Kind of has this big descending triangle pattern. Trevor 80, here's the tradable ETF FXY for the Japanese yen. Moving on to the US dollar, or to gold. Here's gold. Again, gold, as you know, broke out of that little channel pattern. I had this marked as a coil before, but it actually technically wasn't a coil. Here's an education, guys. It's because this, where I had wave E, was lower than that wave C. That can't happen in a coil. So it's really some sort of channel or wave two. By the way, you can't have a coil pattern on wave two. That's another thing about Elliott wave. So anyway, gold, as you know, rallied up, had that big spike, pulled back, bounced off the 90 EMA, rallied again to 22.25. But that last high set up a pretty good RSI divergence, even a little MACD divergence, CCI divergence. So that could have marked a little high here short term, or unless this recovers, holds that 20-day, and then we get another pop. But definitely has my attention with that divergence. And of course, if the dollar strengthens, that could weaken things. Again, the bullish view, we're in the midst of a wave three here. The bearish view, it could be this is completing an ABC up. Trevor 82, here's another daily chart. Again, I still have this coil here. I need to remove that. This is not technically a coil. But here, again, I added fibs. That's mainly what I wanted to show you here. 38% fib is 21.38. 50% fib is 21.11. Next, Trevor 83, here's GLD. That's one of the ETFs. So again, the issue here is you have five waves to the upside. Okay. Whenever you have five waves up, you always got to pay attention for reversal. And we got it so far. Now, again, it's possible this wave five could extend. If this holds here, this could try to move up again with wave five extending. But it's also possible we have a little wave five here in, and then we need a deeper little pullback to consolidate that, like an ABC. Next, Trevor 84, there's the weekly view of gold. Again, slightly down, kind of an ugly candle, spinning top doji there. Trevor 85, here's the monthly view. Again, the very bullish view would have us in the midst of this wave three, which is going to take quite a while to play out. Remember, this is the monthly time frame. But it could take gold eventually to the 3,000 area. Again, guys, with all this inflation in the economy, all this money printing, all the deficit spending, quite honestly, you got to own assets to protect yourself. And that includes precious metals and, you know, even things like Bitcoin and stuff like that. Pretty scary times, quite honestly. I don't know what they're going to do. Next, Trevor, 86, silver, weekly view, down 2%. Still in the midst of this pattern. Next, Trevor, 87, silver on the monthly. Guys, I absolutely love this chart. Steve and I were talking about it today. You can see the top of that, the monthly high, found resistance at this channel, or at this coil pattern, so it confirms it. This is a four-year coil. Energy is building. When this breaks out, it's going to be a big move. I think it's going to be a breakout to the upside. I mean, I think we could see silver, you know, retest those all-time highs eventually. So that could be a major swing trade, guys, when that occurs. But again, it's going to take time. Okay, you got to have patience. Next, moving on to the stocks. Here's GDX, down about 1% for the week. So again, that's a little shot across the bow for gold in the short term. Again, rallied off the bottom portion of the coil, still in the midst of the coil resistance up in here. Trevor, 89, here's GDX on the daily. Again, very nice long trade from that channel break from beginning of March. Stock started to outperform. The Wednesday low of last week bounced off the 200-day moving average. Again, we have a little divergent high here, so now we'll see if this needs to consolidate more or not. But hell of a move from that entry down there. I think if you're a swing trader and you bought that break and you just wanted to give it room, I think you could. It just depends on what your style is. You know, if you can stomach more of a pullback and just stay in the trend, I think you're okay. If you're someone who can't stomach that, then, you know, then you use shorter time frames. Trevor, 90, here's the 60-minute view of GDX. Again, you can see how it popped up late last week on that FOMC pulling back. There's an open gap here we never filled. So again, let's watch GDX. If it pulls all the way back and loses this last higher low, then I think it's got a deeper pullback coming. Next, Trevor, 91, the BPGDM. This is that GDX trading system. It's a parabolic. It's a Renko chart on the bullish percent gold miners index. It's been an excellent signal. You have a buy signal back there in early March. Now, the beauty on gold stocks is that this thing is only up at 35%. It's got a long way to go to get overbought. So if the gold market really wants to power higher, it has a potential long way to go. All right, moving on to some of the individual names we've been showing. Here's AU, Anglo Gold, was a long idea we put out back in February. Had a nice move up to the supply zone. Hope you took your profits there. Right now, it's consolidating around its 20-day moving average. Trevor, 93, EXK, it's a silver stock. Long idea from late February. Hell of a trade out of that wedge downtrend line. Little pullback late last Friday, but again, hell of a percentage move there. Trevor, 94, FSM, it's a silver stock. Hell of a move off that demand zone. Again, it's a hell of a trade. Trevor, 95, one we've been talking about recently. This is gold money. Big gap last Monday. I purchased some on that. Steve was already long. And it's been holding up well here. Basically, their tangible book value is around almost 11 bucks. They have cash flow locked in for years. They hold physical gold and other precious metals. So it's kind of a nice, you know, play, one to look into. Trevor, 96, SVM was the silver stock I put out last week that popped nicely. Still holding up very well. Look at those volume patterns. Some of the others, here's Newmont. That's the largest component in GDX. You can see it's weakening here. You could have an inverse head and shoulder pattern if you can form a higher low. And here's Anglo Gold, also pulling back from last week's highs. Trevor, 99, GFI. This is a weekly chart. This is Goldfields. In the midst of a big coil here. All right, guys, well, the final part of the newsletter, we're going to look at some of these recent trade ideas. So here's OGI. We had it on our watch list early last week. Hell of a move percentage-wise over there. Congrats if you caught that puppy. Trevor, 101, Advanced Auto Parts. Long idea of mine from back in February out of this channel. And then I mentioned the inverse head and shoulder pattern, and this has been one heck of a swing trade. Look at that. There's a big gap to fill here. It's not even close to filling that. Trevor 102, DraftKings, nice pop out of the coil last week that we had. Trevor 103, CCJ, nice low risk entry off that 200-day moving average rebound. So here's how these work, guys. Your long trigger was one penny over that candle high with immediate stop at that candle low. Very tight. It's been a nice trade. Trevor 104, swim. Long idea of mine last week. Tagged its initial target at the supply zone, though still looks okay to me. You still have some. Trevor 105, W day. One to watch. This is from a subscriber. Kind of a, looks like a short. Now, this could still pop higher, guys. So I wouldn't be, I'm still going to watch it even if it pops over these trend lines. I'm going to watch these fibs. Trevor 106, CENX, breaking out. It's an aluminum stock. Still looks pretty strong. Could still follow through on momentum. Trevor 107, AY. Again, here's some various longs, guys. Not a lot of great stuff showing up, honestly. So I'm just looking for volume patterns. So this is one to watch. Kind of a little W bottom here. Some expanding volume. Trevor 108, U, clear, secure. Nice volume on Friday, nice pop, looks pretty strong. Maybe a long over Friday's highs. Trevor 109 pod, here's a short. If it loses this support, I'd be targeting at least this open gap, but probably down around this 135 area. Trevor 110 CXAI. Oh, I think this is a crypto thing. So be aware of that, it's coiling. Trevor 111 80i analog, potential big coil forming here. Trevor 112 Dino, kind of a cup and handle look here, trying to break out. And guys, again, we're just going to continue monitoring these inverse ETFs. Here's SPXU, still in the midst of this channel, but again, we're going to be monitoring since the market is getting very late stage here. Trevor 114 SQQQ, same deal. You can see price stalled at that trend line last week, but we're going to continue to monitor it. Trevor 115, here's SPXU again. This is a 2-hour time frame. You can show this little channel here. And the final chart, Trevor 116, FNGD, that's the inverse ETF for FANG. Never broke through this resistance, so it came all the way back down, but we'll continue to monitor it. All right, guys, that'll do it. Again, thank you for all your support to Breakpoint Trades on YouTube. Please like, subscribe, tell your friends, stuff like that. Really appreciate all the support. And again, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your week. Thank you for your support. Take care.